Are there any more sheets over there?
Here's a second four.
He's a guy.
Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, February 26, 2019. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Agenda, meet with Hart, department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. The ballots have been ordered for the Burlington School District special election, so we're just waiting for them to arrive.
Rodney Buechner, maintenance.
Good morning. Just a short update on the jail control panel. Yesterday, they programmed some doors, got it all downloaded and tested those out, everything worked okay. They changed all the strobes in the building, so today they're working on changing all the smoke detectors and working on the programming for all the doors. Hopefully next week, we should be able to download here at the end of the week and then get all the doors, test all the doors next week, so it's getting closer.
Now, are they doing on the steps?
I haven't heard nothing yet. I'm still waiting on the insurance company from the contractors. I talked to them yesterday. They were supposed to get back to me yesterday, but I haven't heard nothing yet.
That would be next winter before we're hearing that.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a long process.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Mike Johnson, Des Moines County Sheriff.
I don't have anything to add this morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jared, or things that land you?
Pretty much same as always. Nothing really noteworthy to report. We got an item on the agenda for today, and we got another one out for review right now, so that's about it for now.
Lisa Schreiner, Warren County Recorder.
Good morning. It's time for boat renewals, and you have until April 30th before you have to... You have until April 30th, and after that, you'll have a $5 penalty for not renewing it by then. The decals are orange. They're good for 3 years. We also have started, we're going through a lot of training, a lot of different trainings right now, and one is DNR with new equipment, and they're redoing their whole system. Today is the first day we start. Of course, we're having problems getting logged in now. But we're going to get there. And just keep them busy with other trainings. We have stuff going on with the Department of Public Health. Doing a lot of scanning and almost done with scanning all of our boat registrations in. So keep them busy.
Thank you.
Are you getting any ATV things sold when you're renewing your boats and that?
What's that?
Are you getting any more permits for your ATVs as they're renewing your boats?
We sold 130 permits so far since we started. So that's what you're asking.
You know, I thought maybe some of these people come in and renew their other stuff, they would renew their ATVs too.
ATV should have been renewed by now. And we haven't, but the permits usually for new permits won't start until closer to January.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Janelle Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. I really don't have anything new to report. A few property taxes are trickling in. They're due all next month.
Thank you. Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Good morning. Just wanted to remind everyone, if you are part of a volunteer organization or have volunteers that work for your department, the 2019 Mayor's Volunteer Award applications are due Thursday, the 28th, and then the mayors will be reviewing them next week to make their final decisions, and then we'll do the award ceremony in April. So just reminding people to put in your applications. And then the other thing is that Janet and I will be participating in the Iowa Fertilizer exercise drill that they're having tomorrow night down at their facility in Weaver. So we'll be participating in that.
Thanks, Gina. Colin, how are things in IT?
Busy like always, but nothing really new to report, so.
Okay. Christopher Pogelman, Public Health.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. I have nothing new to report.
Okay. Chris Wee, Conservation.
Same as last two.
Brian, Secondary Roads.
I won't disappoint.
You just did.
It's true, Brian.
I couldn't resist.
She's wide awake this morning. No, I'll lead in with that then. We did close a couple roads this weekend. So appreciate. I think we got some help from law enforcement as far as enforcement of those, because just about anybody can drive around a barricade no matter what you do. But Flint Creek did go over Highway 99. So we had to close that for a short period. It was open, I think, maybe by that evening. Appreciate the guys coming in to do that. And then once that got done, it wasn't too long. I think it was 5:30 Sunday morning. I got the call, and the Skunk River went over the road at Bridgeport. So we opened that up yesterday afternoon. I would mention that we'll send out a press release today to help out Lee County. That is the, if you remember, I'll mention that Bridgeport is the bridge, the Skunk River Bridge that Lee County basically oversees, and then at the Augusta, that's the bridge that we oversee. So they have FI excavating lined up to come in tomorrow, and they're gonna work from up on top of the bridge with their long stick excavator, and I believe their main goal is to kind of loosen up an ice jam possibly. And maybe remove some debris. There was a pretty good debris pile that built up on one of those piers from the high water this fall. So that road's going to be closed for sure Wednesday, possibly Thursday also. And they're going to open it up in the evenings after they're done with work. But during the day, sounds like Wednesday for sure, Thursday possibly, that road will be closed for work. So I thought I'd mention that. Probably the biggest topic we have, of course, is the conditions of our gravel roads. There's just no good picture to paint there. I kind of warned, I think, last week that I thought worst times were ahead for our roads, and I think Saturday was a glimpse. I don't think it was where we're going. I think it's gonna get worse. But Saturday was a glimpse. That rain, you know, it got warm enough and it rained and rained and rained, and if you had to be on the gravel roads, you didn't have an enjoyable experience, I can promise you that. So, and then they froze. And they're gonna be frozen for a while. So we have the guys out, they're using the motor graders to do what they can on frozen ground. As you can probably guess, that's probably not the most productive way of doing things, but it is what you have. And we're doing a little bit of spot rock today and tomorrow. Probably do a little bit more next week. The temperatures are gonna get cold enough that we actually, if you throw wet rock in the back of a metal box on a truck, it will freeze in place. So probably Friday through Tuesday or Wednesday, those temperatures are gonna be cold enough we won't be hauling any rock. So we're doing a little bit of that. It's just, there's places where it was just ugly this weekend. I mean, borderline impassable, probably was impassable in the right vehicle. If you had that kind of a vehicle, you had four-wheel drive, you could probably keep moving. But there's no magic wand. I think this is gonna be our life for the next maybe even couple months. On the flip side, we could have 60 inches of snow with that 50 mile per hour wind and look like it is up north where they can't get roads open because there's nowhere to go with it. So it could be worse maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be worse. The board could be getting calls from up north, too.
they probably rated forward those calls. I don't know. It was, like I said, I think it was a taste. I had a call from a farmer yesterday, and it was, you know, he's lived where he's lived for a long time, and he basically said, what are you going to do to make sure I can keep running my semi when it warms back up? And I said, I think there's going to be a week or two coming up where you're not going to be able to run your semi. We're gonna have 450 miles of mess is what we're gonna have. And we were darn close to it on Saturday. So it all just depends. Every spring's different, and you know, the ditches are still full of snow, and I mean, there's a ton of water running around on Saturday too. I was pleased that we didn't have more roads underwater, to be honest with you. So I don't know, and there's still icy hills out there. There was an accident yesterday on a gravel road hill that's got shade over it, and I'm guessing she was driving too fast. I don't know that for sure, but I didn't make it to the accident, but the lady ended up in the ditch with the car on the side, and you know, the road wasn't a complete sheet of ice, but there was ice in that area. So so you just, if you have to be on the gravel roads, you got to be smart right now, because the conditions could be completely different in one spot from the other. So
some of them ruts are 6-8 inches deep. They'll throw you pretty quick.
Well, if you decide to drive in those ruts, instead of straddling the ruts with a small vehicle, you'll rip the oil pan off the bottom of your car. Yeah. And I that seems mean, but you know, an 8-inch rut right now, a motor grader might be able to take the top couple inches off of it, but when we're as cold and frozen as we are right now, that 8-inch rut's not going to change significantly. And so you're going to have to figure out how to drive differently around it. So because we've had a couple calls like that, and like I said, there's only so much you can do. So people certainly are welcome to call us, let us know. We'll certainly put things on a list, but there's only, like I said, there's only so much to accomplish when it freezes the way it has. And yeah, I think that's the bulk of it. So
we ought to change our numbers over and give them Bob's number.
and actually, the people I spoke to understand that just about everything that could damage a gravel road has been recycling itself every couple of weeks this winter. So
it's the nature right now. But if you guys do get called, which I'm sure you do, they're welcome to call our office. That's just fine. So
thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Ken Heineman, Coordinator of Disability Services.
Good morning. Yesterday I had the opportunity to speak with about 30 teachers in Fairfield with the AEA, and just talk about our services that SEAL is doing. And every time I speak to a group, it seems like, you know, we're able to talk a lot about the new services, CIT and mobile crisis that we're going to get started, and just our crisis homes and all assessments at the hospitals, and just so many different things. And so it's always good to collaborate with teachers as the young people get older and get ready for adult services, so they know what's available. Also, there's the talk that the Children's Mental Health services might fall under the regions, although they haven't said where the dollars would come from. But there's always that possibility, so we're just trying to reach out to the school systems and the kids programs as much as we can to prepare in case the state does change and put children's services under us. So that's about all for right now.
Thanks, Ken. Todd Schelf, I see you back there. Anything that you want to bring to our attention from the county attorney's office?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lisa's picking a jury right now. It'll be the fourth district jury trial we've had since January 1. We have three more planned, including that one, over the next 2 weeks, so we're very busy. Our office hosted an open house for law enforcement last week to continue to foster those great relationships we already have. So we're busy and continuing to work hard.
Actually, sitting through this meeting is probably kind of a break for you.
I'll take the fifth.
Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. I don't have much for you. We do have, I do have some tours we're doing this afternoon. Kevin Wilkins from Argent's coming down, our workers' comp insurance. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go out and tour the jail and kind of talk over some things, just look at some things and make sure everything's good. So other than that, not too much.
Mr. Trexel, Fire Chief. Are you here for the DASCOM discussion, or would you want to bring something?
No, nothing special.
Okay.
If you're going to call me every meeting, I probably won't show up.
I certainly don't want to discourage your attendance.
I don't think I missed anybody. So Kevin's boss is over here. I'm pretty sure
thoroughly covered it.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I might mention something for the media's attention also, the fact that Lee County is having their first reading of their ATV ordinance today.
I saw that headline. I haven't had a chance to read it.
So I haven't read the paper or anything, but the sheriff down there called me yesterday and asked if what kind of issues we were having with the ATV ordinance up here. And quite honestly, I can't say there's any problems whatsoever. We haven't had any complaints, everything's went well, people are well behaved. So hoping that works well for them also.
I think they essentially plagiarized ours, which is great. I got a call from the engineer down there too. I think they tweaked it a little, but it sounded like they left it mostly the same.
Boy, must have maybe done something right, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't miss anybody. Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence, I don't. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have payroll claims, reimbursements, and the amount of $863.89.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokers?
Yes. We have a resolution and final plat for the Skunk River subdivision.
Alright, so we have a one lot minor subdivision in Union Township. Appropriately enough for the name Skunk River subdivision, it's located along the Skunk River. In fact, a portion of it, the survey on the boundary is actually along a historic bend in the river that was straightened at some point, I think in the 50s or approximately. So what we're dealing with is a 56 acre lot. It is south of Highway 61 and the railroad between there and the river. The proposed use is to have it continue as is with agriculture, farmland on the western half, and then the eastern portion would just be open space and proposed to be used for private recreational purposes. So what happened here is this is part of a larger land auction that occurred recently. It involved two halves, basically, one on the north side of 61, which was the part of the Leonarddale Farm subdivision we had a few months ago. And this piece here involves the southern half, where all of that land was initially purchased by one person who is not interested in the land that's south of the levee, the agricultural levee, and there's another person who was interested in purchasing that, and so that's why we're having this proposed as a subdivision to split off that southern piece. It is a landlocked parcel there, so as you can see from the plat, it's got two pages. The second page illustrates an access easement that basically follows an existing driveway that's used for accessing that property all the way through the farm parcel to the north, and then that is eventually accessed off of old Highway 61. So in terms of comments received with regards to this subdivision, the first notable comment from the Planning and Zoning Chair, Dick Keith, he noted that in the original version of the plat that was submitted, the easement, while it had a dashed line indicating the easement, it did not actually state the width of that easement, and he recommended that be included, as well as a recommended width of at least 30 to 40 feet. So that, as you can see, the latest version you have now has that labeled as 30 feet along that stretch, so it allows for sufficient width for moving farm equipment in and out of there. And then in addition, from the health department, unfortunately the county sanitarian was unable to access the property right now due to the conditions, as you can imagine from Mr. Carter's assessment of the conditions along the river right now. So based on the fact that the sanitarian was unable to assess the site's appropriateness for a wastewater system installation, He was only able to approve this subdivision in the context of the proposed use, which is simply for ag or and recreation. So with that, based on his recommendation, we are including a condition on the subdivision that it basically limits what it could be used for, except under certain conditions. So that is, in the event that the property is deemed safe for human habitation, a permit for an on-site wastewater treatment system shall be obtained from the Des Moines County Health Department prior to construction, and a code-compliant system shall be constructed prior to habitation. So that basically just puts the condition in there that it's approved as is, but if the owner ever decides to have something like that developed there, it needs to be approved by that department beforehand. And on a related note, just from the land use department's perspective, we were just thinking about the fact that this, as our subdivision ordinance defines a driveway as serving not more than two properties developed for residential or agricultural use, this does present a situation where you are taking, it's basically one driveway at a crossing over the railroad tracks on Old Highway 61, and it presently serves the one farm property that this is being cut out of, as well as a single family home closer to the road. However, we did ask around, get some additional opinion on this, and it sounds like, based on how this has been interpreted previously, that definition of a driveway that's mainly concerned with like residential or commercial development, where if you have multiple homes using a narrow width driveway, that could potentially have traffic issues in terms of in and out access there. So in this case, we feel that as proposed, having three individual users access that one driveway would be acceptable at the present time. But once again, we have chosen to include a condition in here that states that if it were to be proposed, developed for residential or commercial, that prior to construction, the current shared driveway, the portion that would be shared by the three separate owners, would need to be upgraded to minimum roadway standards as defined in the subdivision ordinance under the passage cited. So with that in mind, we, again, based on the way it's currently proposed for ag and recreation, we would recommend approval of the Skunk River subdivision with the two stated conditions attached to it.
I got one question. Mm-hmm. You want to think, does that include getting the emergency vehicles back there? Is that enough to get them back in there on that 30-foot right-of-way and everything?
I would think so. And we were basing that width on ag equipment, because it was initially proposed at only 20 feet, and that was the recommendation to widen that for that purpose, since it's a flat section through there. So I would assume
there's no county road in there.
Nope, it's an existing driveway that accesses off of Old Highway 61.
Off of it, so the driveway you're talking about is on 61.
It's on Old 61. It crosses the railroad tracks. That's one of the problems for access. That's been a problem down there from the beginning, is trucks or fire or anything sometimes has issues getting over top of the railroad tracks. And the railroad easement runs immediately alongside the old Highway 61 easement. Of course, railroad's not always the best to work with. That's been one of my concerns about access. So, but it is not a county road. Private access, basically a private driveway from the time it leaves the road.
I will move to approve.
I'll second it.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jared.
Doesn't work, we've got your number.
What?
I say if it doesn't work, we've got your number.
I think they're all that way down there.
Yeah.
DESCOM, Shanna Krogmeyer.
Morning.
Good morning.
I believe I've met all of you, but for those of you in the room who don't know me, I'm Shanna Krogmeyer. I'm the new director of DESCOM, or I guess not as the news. Worn off just a touch. Been there for about 6 months now, but Most people know why I'm here to talk to you guys today. There's been quite a bit of attention brought to the 2080 agreement discussions and the fact that we need to at least discuss them. Decide if we're going to stay with our current funding structure or move to countywide levy. And this kind of evolved from just we are custodians of the public's money. So every now and then it's a good job to evaluate that responsibility and decide if we're doing what's best for that for each individual entity. We have a 5-year contract on our 2080 agreement. It expires at the end of this fiscal year, so now is a good time to bring that to light and have the discussion. So I've been around to, initially when we talked about it in the control board, it was, let's go gauge the interest. When I first started here, Danville had already expressed some interest in at least evaluating the funding mechanisms, seeing if that was something that we wanted to continue or evaluate other options. So kind of knew it was on the back burner. Brought it up in several control board meetings. We finally agreed that going to each individual city would be the best kind of way to start the process. And then if there was, you know, a resounding desire to look a little farther into it, which I think everybody's expressed that that's the case, then we'd come to you guys and obviously express that each individual municipality wants to at least review the current funding structure and discuss possibly changing it. So with that being said, we would like to schedule a meeting sooner rather than later, obviously. We're looking tentatively, we've discussed possibly even next week, getting a group together March 4th at 5:30. I'd probably be at the Burlington Police Department in their Black Hawk room.
What day is that?
It is a Tuesday.
Tuesday,
March 4th.
Is this just for the DESCOM board or for...
No, it is inviting everybody who has a questions, concerns, you know, has an opinion in it to come together and let's have a conversation about it. In reality, that's all we've kind of proposed from the beginning is we're kind of Switzerland one way or the other. As long as we're funded, obviously. But at the end of the day, we just want to do what's best for the
city. You say Tuesday, March 4th?
I believe that's the date.
It's Monday. Monday's,
that's it's Monday. On Monday.
Tuesday, March 5th.
Okay.
Sorry.
At what time now?
5:30 p.m.
5:30, okay.
March 5th.
Yes.
Go ahead. I guess I think it should be talked about. There's a...
Sure.
My problem with it is reading the paper, it looks like it's a matter of convenience, and it's just, instead of taking it out of your right-hand pocket, you're going to take it out of your left-hand pocket. It doesn't make any difference. But the numbers don't work that way. And I've got, you're certainly, I'll give you these, and I'll have some for the press if you want to grab these. Those, and there's a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
There. If you want to, take a look. You want. It's a, and it does, you know, for the convenience of just having one levy, and it all goes on one levy. I understand that, but it changes it switches funding from one area to another. I think people should know, you know, what it's going to do to, that there will be funding more or less. I think it's a good discussion for DESCOM to have. You know, what is it? It's something everybody should pay per capita access. I see that some cities are going to say, well, somebody should pay more because they use it more. You have that discussion. You can maybe have a compromise, half and half, or however you wanted to do that. But if you just took it off the city levies and put it on the county tax levy, the county tax levy for everybody living in the city would go up about 64 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take less than that off some city levies and
right.
More than, you know, it's of what the cities do with their levy, I don't know. and rural residents would see an increase of about 28 cents. And it's kind of in my experience that people being human beings, if you have a board comprised of individuals who are financially responsible with that budget, you know, they treat that board a little bit differently. They're a little more careful with the operating costs than a board that's comprised of people that don't have a direct financial responsibility on the operating costs of that board. And that's just human nature. Well, and, so I sit on both kinds of boards.
Sure. And your representative on our board is Mr. Beck, also Mr. Johnstone.
Uh-huh.
So the county has two.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you take it away from the county and put it on cities, there's people on that board that I would trust with my wife and home.
Yep.
You know, that you know, great. But there's not the incentive is diminished somewhat to be concerned about that levy. And again, that's my personal experience. If you go through here, I just went through an alphabetical order. Rowling's got 64% of the total population, and they make 73% of the calls. In the budget, the current budgets that have been approved by the cities and the county, they'll pay $700,527, which is 65% of the total cost, $2,730 per capita. If it was funded by a county levy, Burlington residents would pay $501,133, 46% of the total cost, at a $19.53 per capita. Danville has 2% of the total population, makes 1% of the calls. Under current budgets, Danville residents would pay $18,671, 2% of the cost. And the percentages mm-hmm. I've just
yeah.
rounded off, about $19.99 per capita. If it's funded by the county levy, Danville residents would pay $16,055, about 1% of the total cost, and about $17.19 per capita. Mediapolis has 4% of the total population and makes 2% of the calls. In fiscal 20, Mediapolis residents will pay $34,618, 3% of the total cost, or $22.19 per capita. If it was funded by a single county levy, Mediapolis residents would pay $33,163, about 3% of the total cost, $21.26 per capita. Middletown has less than 1% of the total population and makes less than 1% of the calls. In fiscal 20, Middletown residents will pay $159, less than 1% of the total cost, about 50 cents per capita. If it was funded by the county levy, Middletown residents would pay $7,370. That's still less than 1% of the total cost, at about $23.17 per capita. The unincorporated rural areas have 22% of the population and make 12% of the calls. In the current budget, rural residents will pay $247,809, 23% of the total cost, at $27.90 per capita. If it was funded by a county levy, rural residents would pay $421,515, 39% of the total cost, at about $47.46 per capita. West Burlington has 7% of the population and makes 11% of the calls. In fiscal 20, West Burlington residents will pay $82,025, 8% of the total cost, at $27.64 per capita. If it was funded by a county levy, West Burlington residents would pay $104,688, 10% of the total cost, or $35.27 per capita. Anyway, it's not just putting it, your hand in the other pocket and pulling out the same amount of money. Some of these entities see huge swings
sure.
in what their residents are going to pay. And I think that needs to be part of the discussion.
Absolutely. And that's basically why I'm here. I don't get a vote one way or the other. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention that it's a conversation we need to have. Obviously, there's going to be strong opinions on both sides, as we've seen both so far.
And I agree. I want it to be discussed.
Absolutely.
I'm not particularly happy with the way it's funded right now. I think it could be
sure.
be improved.
You know, again, we've kind of as long as ESCOM gets funded one way or the other, obviously that's the main goal, and I don't think anybody is in disagreement that we want our citizens to be able to pick up the phone, dial 911, and have help on the way. How we go about doing that, funding-wise, is really the basis of why we're here. So I think at the end of the day, we're all in agreement that we need to sit down around the table and talk about it. And that's essentially why I'm here, is to invite you guys to do so.
Essentially, the reason I was talking is because I want the papers to know that it's not just taken out of one pocket from the other pocket, that there's financial implications for everybody involved. So I just kind of, that's what I'm talking about. I did not mean to sound like I was addressing you personally.
Oh, no, you're fine.
We love DESCOM, and it's absolutely necessary. No disagreement there, and you're doing your job.
Thank you. Yeah, we kind of came in, I came in with, you know, this 2080, it's also a union negotiation year, and we have the new center. So if anybody has not been to the new center yet, we are the most technologically advanced center probably from here to definitely in this Southeast Iowa region. I would say the next one would be, you'd have to go to the Quad Cities or much larger city to get what we have going for us right now.
Incidentally, somebody called the Department of Management, and there are probably some legal issues that would have to be worked through, which would be accounting level. Emergency Management 29C, right?
C is correct.
The 29C, and DESCOM is a 2080, and there's different, and how?
It would run as under Chapter 29C17 is where you'd get that.
Anyway, we talked to Department of Management, mm-hmm. and there are some issues to wrestle through with that, so I don't think it's probably anything insurmountable, but.
No, it's. I'd like to joke that there's 113 PSAPs, public safety answering points, and there's about 112 different ways to fund them. But in reality, you have the entities that do it in some version of what we're doing right now, and you have entities that do it through an emergency management tax levy. The closest one being Lee County funds it that way. And I think there's challenges and pros and cons to both. Again, I don't get a vote or a say in it, so just bringing everybody to the table that can express their opinions is kind of what spawned this introduction.
Would you tell everybody what a PSAP is?
Public Safety Answering Point. It is the insurance for the every citizen in the county that when you pick up the phone and dial 911, there's going to be somebody there to answer it. Before those entities were put into place, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You could have people answering the phone from their home. I just spoke with one of the longtime members of the Danville Fire Department. They used to answer the phone at the fire station before 911 existed. So,
at everybody's house.
Yeah. Previous position, I worked in a small town that one of the older residents had an issue, and she asked, "Well, what is your number?" And I'm pretty young, so I was like, 911, that's my number. I didn't realize that I don't remember when there was a 911, but kind of an interesting evolution.
I'm old enough to remember.
Right? Sorry.
That's okay. I remember and my neighbor telling his wife what we were saying.
Yeah.
Party lines.
You know, town I grew up in, Mediapolis, when you rung the fire number, it had its own number. Mm-hmm. It rang every fireman's phone.
Right. We were just talking some of the smaller entities. Houghton actually still does this, I think. Yeah. At least they did 2 years ago. If there's a 911 call in the city of Houghton, they'll still ring their air raid siren so that the fire departments know there's a call and they need to respond.
So if you go to Decal, you put on your phone for fire or police.
Yeah, so again, everything's evolving, and 911's no exception. So it's just, you know, we're at a good point. We've got we're 5 years into the formation of the 2080, and it's a good time to reevaluate how we're doing things and make sure we're doing them the best way we can.
Thank you, Shannon.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Fire chief, if there was a really bad fire, could he get out of his driveway?
Yeah, that's the real reason.
Dang might want to relocate.
Matt, is there anything you wanted to add or say?
Sure. Nobody come up there and say it?
No, you can speak wherever you're comfortable.
Well, I've been involved with DESCOM since we started, you know, as an entity called DESCOM. And I've always felt it's a pretty convoluted formula every year where I watch Johnny and Alshana's get to do it, where every year you got to go around to Mediapolis, Danville, all the different entities, give your budget presentation. And those always haven't went over really well, especially, I said, Mediapolis and Danville. There's always controversy. And it always seemed like there's got to be a better way to run DESCOM as far as the funding goes. I mean, there's a lot of, to me, it's a county service, no different than public health, conservation, emergency management. And we don't dole that out, you know, on a per capita basis to the different entities. So that's, I would think, you know, as a city employee, I don't know how that affects my job. As a county resident, I'm according to what you just had there and what I think would probably happen, I would see a levy increase. And that's all right as a county resident. I mean, I just think that's the way that it should be funded. So, but like Shanna said, at the end of the day, I mean, as long as we still have an entity called DESCOM that's working like it is now, top-notch dispatching center, you know, I'm going to be happy with that, you know.
And I think that's right, and I agree. There needs to be discussion, because the way that when you get into the intricacies of the way it's funded now, it's a little convoluted. I would not disagree with that. Thank you.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
William, you'd asked me a question about that, and the gentleman that would have the answer sat back there in the corner, Kevin, when he...
I got him yesterday.
Oh, did you get to talk to him yesterday? Well, okay.
Judy sent me what I
needed. Okay, perfect. Any further comments on DESCOM? We have a resolution to approve the Compensation Board recommendation. The Compensation Board resolution, whereas the Des Moines County Compensation Board meets annually to recommend a compensation schedule for elected officials for the fiscal year immediately following, in accordance with Iowa Code Chapters 331.905 and 331.907, and whereas the Des Moines County Compensation Board met on December 13, 2018, made the following salary recommendations for the following elected officials for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019. The auditor has a current salary of $67,246.76. There was a 4% proposed increase to $69,936.63. The county attorney currently makes $108,572.11. If you don't want to write this down, we'll get copies of this. There's about enough for sale. The county attorney currently makes $108,572.11. Their proposed increase was 3% to $111,829.27. The recorder's current salary is $66,619.97. The proposed 3% increase would increase the salary to $68,618.57. The sheriff's current salary of $89,635.42. A 4% proposed increase would make that $93,220. $220.84. The supervisors currently make $37,125.95, a proposed increase of 1%. The recommended salary would be $37,497.21. The treasurer, current salary is $66,620.99, a 4% proposed increase, with a recommended salary of $69,285.83. Those of you who were here last Thursday, the board discussed this during the budget hearing, and we reduced all those increases by a third and eliminated the increase for supervisors. So therefore, be it resolved that the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors adopts the following salary adjustments for the following elected officials for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2019. The elected official is the auditor.
2.67% increase. Approved salary is $69,042.25. County attorney, a 2% increase. Approved salary of $110,743.55. The recorder, a 2% increase, $67,952.37. The sheriff, 2.67% increase, $92,028.69. The supervisor, 0%, $37,125.95. And the treasurer, a 2.67% increase, $68,399.77.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Personnel actions. We have one personnel action for the correctional center. We have a full-time correctional officer, Sergeant Curtis Kenny, unpaid time due to absence, 3.64 hours on February 13th, 2019. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have personnel actions for the sheriff's office. We have Brad Siegfried, promoted to sergeant. Previous rate was $57,479.60. The new rate is $62,652.76. Effective date February 18th, 2019. We have Monica Ryan, part-time clerk, 48-month, the final step increase. Previous rate was $17.04, new rate is $17.16. We have a Deputy Dylan Beard, an 18-month step increase. Previous rate was $48,857.63. The new rate is $51,731.59. We have Amanda Edmonds, a part-time clerk, a 36-month step increase. We have a previous rate of $15.97, a new rate of $16.47. And we have Sean Trevor Phillips, a deputy. His final step increase, the previous rate was $54,605.59. The new rate is $57,479.60.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Jail statistics for January 2019. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting, February 19th, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have minutes for the special budget meeting of February 21st, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items. Committee reports.
Back up on that future.
Okay, sorry.
We got a lot going on with the budget happening. Let's be thinking about having an update on that ordinance where that horse got chewed up and that. You know, on that dog ordinance. I think we ought to put that up, be thinking about that here next week or so and put that on the agenda.
I know Lisa's busy. Have you had a chance to speak to her at all?
I did. I did speak with her, and she has a few ideas. She's mulling around. Of course, it's all up to board, you know, action and those kind of things. Certainly wouldn't hurt to have a work session on or something and maybe address, you know, maybe go over it and see where we need to move on it at this point. I think it would be a good idea to kind of look it over and, you know, see where we can go with it. I'm unavailable next week, but the week after, possibly. And of course, we're going to have to make sure Lisa's here and that's going to be the big one.
Has she mentioned that to me, that might be brought up? She said Mike and she had talked and Mike would know a lot. I think, okay, maybe she didn't say that.
You guys got to come more often.
But
I know nothing.
That's not a trolley for us, so that would probably be one that would be work. That would work.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do we figure out? Okay. Kind of think about that.
Good thought, Jim. Committee reports.
I attended emergency management. We had a public hearing on the fiscal 20 budget. That was approved, and we approved a handbook, an employee handbook. So that's all I have. Public input session number. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand up. Give us your name and address for the record. If you care to stand up to the lectern, you may. It's not necessary. Seeing no one rise, with an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
Aye.